programming support comes from the Side Door Jazz Club at the historic Old Lyme Inn, presenting live jazz every weekend in an intimate listening room with a full bar and relaxed ambience. In addition to the jazz club, the Old Lyme Inn offers fine dining, overnight stays, and weekend getaways. Full calendar and ticket information at thesidedoorjazz.com or by phone at 860-434-0886.
Thank you. listener-supported radio, WPKN in Bridgeport, Connecticut, 89.5 FM. And it's always fun to be your own engineer, right? Because I had to do a little figuring out to bring Allison Miller to you. Hello, Allison.
Hello.
All right. She is in a better place than we are. What are you doing in Bermuda?
I'm in Bermuda playing the Bermuda Music Festival.
How nice. So it's work and maybe a little play or no play at all?
Definitely play.
Oh, good. Yes. And I'm assuming the weather is bright and blue. It's actually, by the way, it's very beautiful here also, but it's 40 degrees.
Ooh, yeah. It's about 70 here.
And do you want to come back? That's the question.
I don't, but I'm going to Miami tomorrow. So that's...
Sweet.
It's a stepping stone back to New York.
Yes, you'll just like gradually. So tell me, though, what are you doing in Miami?
Miami, I'm just, I'm actually, you know, I do a lot of education. So I'm flying into Miami to do a masterclass with the jazz winners of this year's National Youth Arts Organization.
Oh, my God,
actually,
that sounds
it's
fabulous. Yeah.
National Young Arts Association.
That is so cool. And do you do that as a volunteer?
Yeah, well, I do. Depends on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
This is I volunteered myself, but there is a stipend.
Okay, yeah.
You want to know. But I do, you know, I was they've been doing some outreach to alumni of that organization, and I was a winner or an honorable mention of that organization when I was in high school.
Oh, cool.
So they've been trying to really reach out to alumni to kind of have a better relationship with alumni. So I'm slowly getting involved with them and offering to teach whenever they need somebody.
And so you're teaching the drums, I assume, or?
I'm teaching all of the jazz winners. So
wow.
It'll be, you know, drums, bass, piano, and a few horns.
Can you do that? I mean, I'm really impressed.
Well, I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, I think I've just been teaching for so long that, you know, I can give guidance. Even if I don't exactly know, you know, how to play the alto saxophone, I can give some good, you know, general musical advice.
Yeah, I can hear that. Yeah. So, you know, your album is so impressive, and so I'm so grateful that you're coming back to be with us here at WPKN. We're talking to Allison Miller. She has a new album out. She's a jazz drummer and also a spectacular composer, and she has a new album out that we're going to talk about with her group. So do you want to just, first of all, I wanted to ask, I read something that I really was incredulous about, but then I thought, well, I'll just ask her because maybe it is true. So the article said you composed all of these tunes on the subway.
Oh.
Is that true?
I did, well, yes, in a sense.
Wow.
I think a lot of the tunes were birthed on the subway or on the move, because, you know, I am very busy. I have a very busy schedule, but I also have two very young children at home, and I oftentimes can't really find the space or time at home to write. So I would find myself singing melodies or singing ideas into my iPhone on the train, or using my GarageBand app to record ideas. And a lot of, you know, of course, I then had to take these ideas and sit at the piano or the bass and write out the parts. But a lot of these songs were started on the move, for sure.
I love it. You know, I have to say, I can't do anything on the subway but sit or stand there. So I'm hugely impressed that you're able to use that time for good. What train do you travel on?
These days, it's mostly the F.
I see, yeah. And mm-hmm. And the F is a tough train, so even more power to you, right? tell me about your new album and, you know, who you're performing with. I know that this is a longtime band that you've been playing with.
Yeah, this is my band Boom Tick Boom, and this year marks our 10-year anniversary. And this album, you know, a lot of the music was written in 2017, and it's, you know, it's representative of what was going on with me personally in 2017, but also what was shockingly going on in our country in 2017. And, you know, there's a celebration on the record of there's definitely celebration of the band, you know, having this band together for 10 years, which I think is quite a feat, and, you know, kind of celebrating the chemistry that we've developed over 10 years. But there's also, you know, I'm also writing music addressed to social issues, you know, feeling this kind of juxtaposition that's happening in our country of, you know, I mean, I guess it's a natural juxtaposition when people feel oppressed. There is revolution and there are uprisings and kind of, you know, musically exploring the feeling of, you know, shock of the happenings in our administration, but then also, you know, the good that can come out of that, because all of these socialist groups, social justice groups are speaking out, you know, and kind of addressing that issue. Also celebrating the birth of my son, who was born in 2017. And
congratulations.
His middle name is Wolf.
So that was going to, because, you know, Julie Wolf is, the producer. And so I was wondering, well, what is the reference? So now I get it.
Yeah, I mean, and Julie Wolf is the producer. She's also one of my dearest friends. She's basically a sister to me. So part of the reason that my son's middle name is Wolf is because of Julie Wolf. So it's all tied together, for sure.
So, and, you know, to be able to work with somebody like that with her background, it must be an incredible experience.
It is. And I really respect her. She comes from a little bit more of a singer-songwriter, Americana pop, not pop so much, but Americana world. So, you know, her expertise is making really refined sounding, beautiful records. And, you know, I love to make pretty raw sounding records. So I really appreciated her efforts and my efforts. And I felt like we came together and met in the middle and, you know, created something that I feel really proud of.
Oh, you should be. No, it was an album that I will say I rarely do this because of the radio station. I have to listen to so much music in order to be able to do this show that I rarely, like, will listen to an album more than once or twice. And I found myself, I told you last time we talked, I have a little insomnia, right? So I might be up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I found myself going, okay, this is what I have to listen to right now again. You know, it's just a fantastic album.
Thank you.
And Jenny Scheinman, I'd love to hear, I mean, her addition to that group is so remarkable. She's amazing.
She is. She's, you know, I feel like even just saying she's a violinist doesn't really give the credit she's due, because it's more like, I want to say, Jenny Scheinman plays Jenny Scheinman. Because she's such a unique musician, and she really does bring something special to the band.
You know, for me, and also your music as well, I hear so many different types of music in it, and in a way that works really well. And still, I would fight anybody who said it's not jazz, because to me, that's what I hear mostly.
Yeah, you know, I mean, we all come from that jazz tradition, and of course, we've been influenced by all types of music over the years, and I really do endorse a collective spirit, a kind of a sense of democracy in the band. So I'm just wanting everybody to shine as much as possible. I really don't want backing musicians. You know, I want us all to shine. And, you know, so everybody brings all those influences into the compositions.
How far away did the band go from your original compositions, would you say, on the album?
Oh, you mean on this album?
Yeah.
That's a good question. You know, I brought all this music in. In fact, there are a couple songs we recorded that didn't even end up on the record. So I did write a lot of music for this record. You know, everything was arranged, but we did spend 2 full days rehearsing in Ben Goldberg's living room.
And cool, yeah.
we spent a long time talking about each person's part. Some people, you know, I really encourage, my bandmates to say, hey, Allie, you know, everybody calls me Allie, you know, you wrote a C7 there, but maybe, you know, like, what would this sound like? You know, so I encourage people to give me advice. I mean, I'm a drummer. I'm not a trained composer. So, you know, I'm not dealing with harmony on a day-to-day basis. So sometimes I just write things down that I like the sound of, but they might not make sense in conventional theory. So, and sometimes they'll say, hey, this doesn't really fit the chord. Are you sure it's what you want? And I say, yeah, actually, I know it's doesn't really make sense theoretically, but it's actually what I want. So, but then other times they'll give me a suggestion and I'll say, oh yeah, actually that makes more sense and I like the way it sounds, so let's do that. So there really is some things shift, and then of course once we're soloing, once musicians are taking solos, of course none of that is written out. I mean, they're soloing over the chord changes of the compositions, but they're soloing, you know.
And talk a little bit about who else. I mentioned Jenny Scheinman. Who else is in your group?
So, yeah, so Ben Goldberg, who plays clarinet and contralto, and Kirk Konuski on cornet, and that's the front line. So it's violin, cornet, and clarinet. And I really like the way those three instruments sound together. They're not considered traditional jazz instruments anymore, but I like the chamber feeling of my group, and I think that violin, cornet, and clarinet really lend itself to that sound. Also, clarinet and violin were actually some of the first jazz instruments, so I find it kind of interesting that they're not considered traditional instruments anymore. On piano, the wonderful, the great, the one and only Myra Melford on piano.
Oh my goodness!
She's been like the original member of the band, and kind of the reason I started the band 10 years ago was because of Myra. And then Todd Sikafoos on bass, who's a kind of a long-time friend and rhythmic partner, and he and I have played in many different bands together over the years.
You know, Myra Melford, of course, you know, was on a lot of top 10 lists with her own album. And so, like, that group that we've put together, the first thing I was thinking about this morning when I was thinking about talking to you was, you know, you can't really say anymore that women in jazz are ignored, right? Because they're just not. I mean, there was a lot of women on these top 10 lists at the end of the year. And she, of course, was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's really shifting. I mean, in a sense, that's one thing that has kind of come out of, kind of came out of 2016 is more awareness around needing to give women, finally giving women what the recognition they deserve. You know, I mean, you know, because of some of the, not that I just want to get political on this interview, but because of some of the reactions to some of, I don't know if you remember that the thing about the recording that came out about, you know, Trump being talking inappropriately about women.
Yes.
That really sparked all of these, the Me Too movement and the whole thing with Hollywood, and then all of these young women in jazz academia started coming out saying, well, actually this happened to me when I was in school, you know, and I think, you know, I think this really spawned a movement, and it's finally, you know, I feel like it's finally taking a turn in the right direction of like, okay, yeah, okay, right. So it's a new day. It's time for women to just be treated as equals, and we need to be recognized for our art. And I feel like critics are finally listening, which is really great. And also festivals are starting to listen, and they're hiring more women as well.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, it's not just men who are moving jazz progressively forward. And you know, I read too much of that still, even though I'm optimistic. And I will say just quickly that, you know, in terms of my experience with this Me Too issue, I had set up an interview with, I won't tell you who, but a jazz pianist who, in fact, I found out the day that I was going to interview him that he had been accused of all of this sexual abuse at his school. And, you know, I had to go forward with it because I would have just had like to out and out cancel it. But I made a mental note that is never going to happen again to me, right? No way. You know, because it's wrong. You know, to give somebody the airwaves when they're that kind of a person. I mean, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've had some of the accusations were made and proven by, you know, to friends of mine, which was shocking. I'm like, oh, how do I handle that now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the thing, let's not go too far down this road, but the thing I think is it's more unusual for me to find somebody that I know that, that has had no experience with that whatsoever. I mean, that's unusual, sadly.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. I mean, I had this exact conversation. I teach at the new school, and last year we all had we had to do this gender and sexuality training to basically, as teachers, learn how to, you know, basically how to, what is appropriate, you know, mm-hmm. And talk about how to address people who are exploring their gender, you know, so we would get into these big conversations. We sit in a circle and we were getting into these conversations, and the room was filled with, you know, educators around my age to, and most of us are like touring jazz musicians who teach at the new school, to, you know, the older masters who are, you know, used to a different day, you know. And so we would get into these conversations, and at one point, somebody said, I can't remember who it was, but an older man said, this just seems all overwhelming, like it's just such a new thing. And I raised my hand and I said, well, actually, there's not one woman in here who hasn't experienced this at some point, you know. And I said, you know, I definitely in college experienced it many times, and every woman in the room, which there were about 15 of us, we all shook our head and agreed, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean,
I think that was pretty shocking for him to see.
I will agree, you know, and I think that it's kind of a new day in a lot of ways, and it's not, as we said, all bad, because in a sense, you know, when I was doing my show 20 years ago, you know, frankly, women were sparse in jazz, you know, sparse. And now if I wanted to do a show every week with really good music, I would have no problem programming that show to be all female artists at all, which is
right.
A big challenge. I mean, you know, not to, you know, eliminate the Billie Holidays and all of those people and the Mary Lou Williams, because they're there. But there just wasn't that much material. And now it's like every week I find a new artist that just blows me away, that is, you know, a female leader of a band is another issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely an issue. But it is really changing. I mean, I agree with you. I think there's just so many women out there moving this music forward.
And where are you going? I mean, because, you know, there's no doubt that you're inching jazz in a certain direction. Where do you think it should go, or at least where should it go for your group?
Well, you know, I feel part of me is just, you know, part of my effort is to stay as true to my creative spirit as possible, and I know it's shifting, and it's difficult sometimes because it doesn't always match up with comfortable comfortable finances. But I really try to stay, that's a funny way to put it, comfortable finances.
I know what you mean, though. You're saying you could perform music that would be much less accessible, and therefore you would get less gigs and sell less CDs. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, but it's just, you know, when I stay totally true to my creative spirit, I don't exactly, you know, like, I love my band Boom Tick Boom, but there's six people in my band, and taking six people on the road is very expensive. You know what I mean? So I could just, you know, cut it down to a trio and play straightforward music, you know, which I don't have any interest in doing. So, you know, my goal is to stay true to myself, and then also right now I feel like I feel very moved to make sure that I'm connecting my music and my composing to my social justice opinions and issues and what I feel need. I just feel like for some reason I know exactly why, but I feel a strong sense that I want to connect my art to my social justice activism. So that's constantly kind of pulling at me. And I'm sure that might shift, but for me, it feels very connected.
I look forward to seeing where that heads. So your other point, though, really was more of, hey, I've got to get six hotel rooms, and I have to figure out how to fly six people to X location. That's really what you're saying.
Yeah, and just, you know, really just staying true to, you know, no matter what, like making it work, which is not always easy. I mean, sometimes it's very easy. You know, sometimes it's working out great, but then there are other times where I think, wow, you know, it could be easier for me to just wait for the phone to ring and work as a side musician.
ignore that, will you please?
I mean, I enjoy that as well, but, I really am dedicated to my band and
ignore that impulse.
Yeah, exactly.
No, just don't listen to that voice in your head. So you're in Bermuda, and then you're going to be in Miami. When can folks in this area hear you?
Well, you can hear us next Tuesday, February 26th. We will be doing our CD release party at Dizzy's at Lincoln Center.
I am so excited about that, and people will be as well who are listening, because I have tickets to give away for that show. So I'm looking forward to seeing it myself, and I'll be giving away a pair of tickets sometime between now and then.
Great.
So, and have you? I assume you played at Dizzy's before.
I have. I think I've done my last three CD releases there, and I've played with other artists as well. But I love that room. I think it's gorgeous. I think the staff is great, and the sound is great on and off stage. And then you have that view behind the stage, which is beautiful.
You know, that is the slickest jazz. I don't mean slick in a bad way, but it is, let's use another word, it's the nicest jazz club I've ever been in. There's just nothing that even comes close to it, and it is because of the view. I mean, it's just really amazing. For those who don't know, it's a Columbus Circle, and so when you're looking out into this gorgeous Central Park, and it's just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And too bad you guys can't turn around and look at it. You're actually facing the other direction, right?
Well, I kind of angle my drums a little more when I play there so I can see.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, listen, it has been a pleasure, and I appreciate particularly because you've been traveling that you're willing to take some time to do this, and I encourage you to go enjoy the beach or whatever your plans are for the rest of the day, and hopefully you'll consider coming back again. We would love to have you. Oh, wait a minute. I know. I told you I was going to do this, and then I forgot. So I've played, if you will, the two wolves off your album, and I would love to play one more tune. I'd love to play the whole thing, actually. But if you give me a choice, I'm going to play that.
Yeah, I think the opening track, Congratulations and Condolences.
It is a great tune. And again, thank you so much. Safe travels back, and we will see you on Tuesday.
Okay, thank you,
the 26th.
Lisa.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, so we're listener-supported radio, and this is what Allison Miller... we're going to have to go to that because I'm getting feedback that I don't like. So let's go. Let's just be improvisational as WPKN is. So I'm going to fix that problem, and then we'll hear Allison Miller. Right now, we're going to go to Jeff Ballard.
Thank you.